Mickey Hart here. You're listening to the GAA Hour Football Show.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.
I'm not finished yet. It took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their asses for 10 years.
All right, delighted to say one of the greatest cornerbacks to ever play the game is joining me on the line now, Mark O'Shea, who announced his retirement yesterday. Mark, we're one day on from the announcement. What's the overriding emotion today?
Obviously, you know, when you hear all the nice messages fellas are sending, Colin, it's nice. It's nice to get the recognition from your peers. And look, it's obviously looking back in the career, it's something that I'm proud of, I suppose, you know, because obviously I suffered a lot of defeats, but you have to remember the ones you won as well. So we've had great days up there. So, you know, the time is right now to hang up the boots. And I think I made the right call.
You're not an emotional type of fella, but having a look on Twitter, even the Tyrone fellas are paying you tributes. You have Sean Kavanagh, Philip Jordan, then you have Padraig Joyce, Stephen McDonald, Bernard Brogan, fellas who you directly marked. And it's just universal praise for you. You know, that must kind of pull on your heartstrings a little bit.
Yeah, and you know what? I actually haven't gotten around to get back to all those people yet because I've been just flat out, you know. But it's lovely to hear the likes of Sean Kavanagh and Padraig Joyce and Colm McCarron and all these fellas, and even the hurlers, looking at Henry Shefflin there and, you know, Richie Hogan and Bernard Brogan from Dublin. So it's nice to get recognition from these fellas. They're obviously great footballers and hurlers, and you know, when you get recognised, it's lovely to get that. And you know, I'll get around to them soon enough and reply. It's just been frantic here the last 2 days. But look, it is. It's emotional as well when you eventually hang up the boots and you know you're not going to put on a Kerry jersey anymore. And I suppose the hardest time is when it'll hit me hardest is next year when the team take to the pitch again and watching my friends and teammates run out onto the field. And that's probably when it'll hit home.
I think it's a reflection of your style of play as well, though, Mark, the way you played the game. Like, I mean, you weren't into pulling jerseys too much. You know, you played the game fairly. You weren't a trash talker. Like, even your rivals, you weren't a hateful player. You know, this is why it's universal in the praise for you, but, you know, by the opponents.
Yeah, I suppose, look, that was something we learned from our Uncle Paddy growing up. He was very much of the opinion, you know, you don't talk to your opponents, you just play the game. And we very much were taught that talking to your opponent was seen as a weakness. Other people see that as a strength.
Right.
But, you know, different strokes for different folks. You know, like, I'm sure if you ask the likes of Ryan McMenamin or maybe Philly McMahon, they tell you that's what gets them going for a game. And look, as I say, everyone to their own. That was just something I never did. I also liked the biggest thrill for me as a defender was trying to beat an opponent without actually fouling them. And you know, you see the likes of Mike McCarthy, Seamus Moynihan, even going back to the golden years to look at the likes of John O'Keefe. You know, he was at that. That's the way he played his game as well. And you know, when I started off, it was you know, I wanted to play like Seamus Moynihan. Seamus Moynihan was a hero to me, and watching him in the 2000 All Ireland and getting trials with Kerry in 2000 and being on the panel in 2001, I just watched this guy closely and monitored him and the way he played, and I just tried to be like Seamus in how I played. And that's, I think, every footballer growing up, they have a player who they model themselves on. I'm not for a second trying to say I'm as good as Seamus Moynihan, but he would have been one of the players that I looked at and tried to be as good as.
Yeah,
trying to be as good as, you know.
When did that click in with you? You know, that kind of killer instinct that you get a thrill out of a clean sheet. Because I know you. You've been a teammate of mine. You've notions about yourself as a scorer, and you've dummy solos. I mean, notions in the best possible way. But like, you've played in the forwards. Like, I mean, your thrill as you've played in the forwards would be kicking a score. When did the thrill of keeping a clean sheet or keeping your opponent scoreless? When did that have to grow on you, or did you just automatically get that?
It grew on me because when I started off, I usually played, say, with the club underage. It was usually in the forwards I played as a young fella. And then when I got to minor level, I played midfield with my club. and then wing back with the Kerry Miners in 98, and we were beaten by Laois, your own home team, Laois, in 98 in the semi-final. And it wasn't until 2000 that I was put in cornerback for the first time in a county championship match for the Gaelic against Kenmare. And that was the first time I played cornerback there and played relatively well. And then Mark Pat O'Shea, our ex-manager, in the final, the county final in 2000. So that would have been the first time I started playing there. And then I started playing well inside in that position. And then the art of defending and the tackling and trying to dispossess a man fairly and blocking was a skill that I really worked on and I loved doing and loved watching the likes of John O'Keefe blocking, Seamus Moynihan blocking. I think it's an art that it's a kind of a dying art and something that I love doing and practiced a lot, obviously. And you know, I just loved defending and it gave me as much of a thrill defending as it did going the other way, going forward.
Yeah, eventually, because I was reading Rio Ferdinand. He played in the forwards when he was younger, and he was the same. He didn't get any thrill out of being a defender, but after a couple of years, it became a huge thrill to keep a clean sheet, you know, and it replaced getting a score. And that must be what it's like being a cornerback, because you obviously need to replace that excitement of going forward with something else.
Yeah, you know, and you said it there yourself. You know, it was the thrill. It was the thrill of keeping a clean sheet. That was something I loved doing, you know, and if you could keep a clean sheet and then maybe get up the field and get a point, like that was a win-win straight away, you know. And there was a lot of days you'd be able to manage to do that, but there were days also where it was very hard to do that, you know, especially playing in Croke Park, because it's such a big open field that it was a hard thing to do, you know. So but you know, it was, when you did do it, it was something that you were, you know, you'd be on cloud nine after it, you know, because marking some of the great players, and if you could manage to hold them scoreless, which is a very hard thing to do, and probably didn't do it as much as I would have liked. But if you could do that, you know, it was a great deal.
You waited around in the field after the Dublin defeat with Donaghy and Aidan O'Mahony. Did you know then you were done, Mark, or when did the decision?
I knew then I was done. I knew then I was done. I knew this was my last year, Colm. I knew this was going to be it. This is the swan song. I wasn't getting the game time I would have liked. I was disappointed with that. I felt I had more to offer. Maybe after the National League final, maybe I went down in their estimation. It's hard to know, but like it's certainly something like that I would have liked. I would have liked more game time. And that said, Eamon, the decisions he made, Killian Young back into the corner, Tadhg Morley wing back, they played excellent. They were outstanding. Killian and Tadhg were two of our best defenders that day against Dublin. So Eamon will see. Eamon was right in his selection, you know. So that's the way it goes. Time waits for no man. I'm 36 now. While I feel good, the body feels good. But you know, it's time now. I've a young family, and it's time to move on.
Really, because it sounds to me like you're retiring because you're not getting your game and maybe it's not worth the commitment, rather than you're retiring because your body's telling you to. You know, you're lucky enough with injuries. For the word I get from you is that you're leading most of the runs down a training. So it's not like your body's giving up on you here, like maybe like Declan O'Sullivan. It's like, you know, maybe that commitment for not getting your game isn't worth it for you anymore.
No, it's like last year, getting injured before the final, broke my toe before the semi-final, got an injection in that, and before the Tyrone match, and so missed the week before the Tyrone match, started against Tyrone and had an injection before the game, felt good against Tyrone and was playing well until I got the black card, and then came back, so I missed the following week after that, and then you're talking you know, I came back then and I did a really hard training session and I went from 0 to 100 miles an hour, which was the wrong thing for a fella of my age to do. You know, I completed the session that when I came back, it was a real hard session now before, maybe 3 weeks out, before the 4 weeks out, in fact. And I did damage to my calf, but I kept going. I should have, the sensible thing to do would be pull up. But then I was out for another week with that. Then I came back and tore my hamstring, 12 grade 1 tear, which meant it was 2 weeks. So I had 12 days and, you know, I said to Eamon, look, when you're picking your team, pick it knowing that I'll be okay for the game. And brought me aside on Tuesday and said to me that I wouldn't be starting. So I could understand his decision. Now, I did pass the fitness test the night before the All-Ireland 2015, but I knew myself I wasn't right. So this year I was going to give it one more go. And that was definitely, it wasn't, you know, like I know I've been up the front in all the runs and in the long distance running, and that's something I've been proud of. But the reality is as well, the short burst from here, maybe 10, 15 yards.
The short burst for 10, 15 yards, if you're being a cornerback, why can't you be a Keane O'Sullivan style sweeper? You don't need that burst then. You know what I mean? Can you not evolve into a different type of player? Or did you have that conversation with Eamon?
I did, and you know, to be fair to him, I was played as a sweeper for the last month. You know, I was playing as a sweeper in the B team, and I have to say, it's a role that I really enjoyed, and you know, it was something, you know, that he was going with Aidan O'Mahony as a sweeper at the start of the year and during the course of the year, and it's something that he was happy with. And you know, towards the last month there before the Dublin match, I was used as a sweeper. And geez, you know, I said it to him, and after it's something that I would love to have done earlier. And you know, he agreed. But it's disappointing. But look, I'm not dwelling on any of that. I'm delighted I made the decision. I think it's the right decision for everyone concerned. It's the right decision for me, for my family, and it's the right decision for Kerry. You know, it's you know, you mentioned there that the body, you know, it's my body is fine. But realistically, you know, if we trained on a Tuesday, I'd get up Wednesday morning and be going down the stairs and I'd be aching, Colm. You know,
yeah.
You know, it's fine to say like that, you know, I didn't have the same knees as Declan O'Sullivan, that I was fine in that regard. But, you know, you wake up, and I never had this feeling before where, you know, the body felt like that. So I knew it was time. The body was creaking, and you know, I'm picking up little niggly injuries now that I've never been picking up before. I was blessed in that I never had injuries, but now all of a sudden I seem to be getting little injuries here, there. I have a shoulder injury now that's given me a bit of bother the last few weeks. It's hard enough to try and shake these injuries off, you know. And when I knew myself, and I know my own body, you know, it's now's the time, and I'm delighted I made the decision.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make an argument to see you in the Kerry jersey again here, but look, it's just as well you didn't talk to me before you made the announcement. I would have talked to you around. But have you had a chance?
There was a few fellas. There was a few fellas who did try and talk me around, the likes of Kieran Donahue and these fellas. But no, that's not to say that he's going on. I don't know what decision he's going to make.
He's released a book. He's gone as well. Come on, you O'Mahony and Starr gave.
Are you retiring, Kieran Donahue? Can we go on record?
Listen,
you
three gave the game away when you waited out in the field after the Dublin game.
And now, I wouldn't be so sure now with the two boys. And if you know the two boys in question, I'd say they'll go on again, and they'll keep going with Kerry, and I've no doubt about that.
Well, fingers crossed they will. Have you ever sat back, Mark, and have a think about what you, Tomás, and Dara have done in the game? Like, three brothers from a rural part of Kerry, and you've become three of the greatest players in your positions in the game.
Well, you know, when we I was asked that question yesterday, and when we won our All-Stars, the three of us, in 2007, obviously that was a very special moment. But like, it's not until you actually sit down when you retire that you actually take notice of these things. When you're playing, you don't really take much notice of them. Obviously, they were great times. You know, you look at the Dublin team now, and you kind of, you remember when we were at that stage where we were winning back-to-back All-Irelands, and very special moments. And you know, that's when you're invited to all these big events with Sam Maguire, and you know, then you take all of those things for granted back then.
Yeah.
But it's only now that you look back on them and you say, my God, they were great times. And you see the Dublin team now and their homecoming and all of that, and you say, you know, this just wasn't it great when we had all of that? And they're memories that I'll cherish forever. And I'll, you know, you know, if you said to me as a young boy growing up that, you know, that I'd be playing football with Kerry and I'd be winning All-Irelands with my childhood heroes, I'd only have said it was a dream, you know. And, you know, to be able to fulfil that, that's huge for me, you know. That's a massive thrill and something that I'll cherish forever. And look, it is something now, and I am blessed that I played with my two brothers and that my young two was there as well for a while, and he was in charge of the team. for a few years, and I was very privileged and lucky and honoured to wear the Kerry jersey, and something that I'll bring to the grave with me.
Do you remember kicking around with the lads in the backyard when you kind of realised, here, the three of us are pretty good at this, or you know, I can compete with these two fellas?
I do. I remember, I suppose, Fergal, our eldest brother, he was our hero. Well, Paddy was our hero, but then we had Fergal. He was captain of the Kerry Miners. He was playing great football, and he was in with Kerry Seniors at 19, and all of a sudden then he tears his cruciate and just didn't come back as the same player after that. But, you know, usually it was myself and Fergal against Tomás and Dara, and then you could see maybe Dara at 16 then, and then he was nearly at the stage where he was outfielding Fergal, and seeing all, you know, it was great crack, and myself and Tomás tearing into each other, and Tomás, you know, these were great days, and that's definitely where we got our love for football. You see young fellas now, and they're playing video games and all of this, you know, but back there, you know, it was just like, if it was raining, we'd be out kicking ball, and they're the moments that that we'll enjoy looking back on.
Yeah, and you know, Tomás and Dara, when you came into the Kerry panel, I read they were obviously always there. I read some quotes from Eamon Fitzmaurice yesterday. He gave you a lovely tribute, and he said something that was interesting. He said he had a huge presence in the dressing room, which was of particular significance in the last few years. Now, did you make that step up to be a bigger leader when Tomás and Dara were gone? Did you always feel that you were kind of a little bit below them?
I don't know. I don't think so, because, you know, they would have been in the dressing room during the times at the club as well. So we would all have been vocal. It's something that we, I suppose, you know, I think you're either vocal or you're not. And, you know, certain fellas, I always heard about, you know, players who did their talking on the pitch. We were lucky in that Dara was able to do, he was able to talk the talk and walk the walk. And you'd never do your talking in the dressing room if you weren't going to back it up out in the field. That's the way I felt anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the big things I used to do as well was put pressure on myself. I always put pressure on myself to perform. And, you know, if you were doing all this talking in the dressing room, well, then you couldn't be talking and dress talk. It was trash talk unless you were actually doing it out in the field.
Yeah.
And that's the way we felt. And it just so happened that we were vocal, you know. You know, there's other fellas there, they're not vocal. I played with Mike McCarthy, and he was the quietest player I ever played with. But when he went out in the field, he did his talking out in the field. They say the same about Darren Fay, how quiet he was in the dressing room, but when he went out in the field, he was able to do his stuff. So look, everyone is different. Declan O'Sullivan, he was an incredible leader in the dressing room. Great fella to give a talk in the dressing room. Seamus Moynihan, the same. You know, the Gooch, same way. You know, certain fellas are good at that. And you've young fellas now in Kerry, and they're able to do that, you know. But there's other fellas then, and they'll just be the quiet fellas, you know.
Yeah. Did you find it difficult to make the speeches and be the leader when you weren't on the starting 15?
I did at first. But then, you know, I mean, you have to be bigger than that, really.
Yeah, it's hard though, isn't it?
It is hard, and I suppose when I wasn't getting my game, I had it out with Fitzmaurice, and I won't even tell you what I called him there to say it one day, but all he could do was laugh, and you know, that's him, and I think he preferred that we had that kind of, we had that relationship. You know, if you had a problem, you'd say it to him, and if there was something that you found wrong, you'd say it to him, and I did, and you know, I felt better after it, and he probably felt better. So look, it is what it is, but you have to be bigger than that, and you have to be bigger. You have to put yourself. You're not bigger than any team, and nobody will ever be bigger than the Kerry team. The Kerry team is for me was everything, and you know, it was an incredible place to be, and I was privileged and honoured, and if there was something that I could say that would help another player, then I would do that. You know, I was, you had the likes of Ty Morley and Brian O'Begley, my own club mate, coming in this year. And, you know, I remember before the Clare match, I was in the bus coming into Fitzgerald Stadium, and I gave Ty a few words of encouragement. And, you know, he texted me there today thanking me for that, and he remembered it. So I felt a bit chuffed with that. You know, these fellas remember things like that, which is nice.
Isn't it weird, because you remember when you come into the panel first, such a small thing as somebody talking to you when they didn't have to. It's something I always remember. And for you to do that to somebody else, you don't appreciate what you're probably doing for somebody that's only 19, 20 coming into a panel.
Exactly, yeah. And I remember, you know, when I came in first back in 2000, 2001, and I remember one of the first fellas to come to me was Maurice Fitzgerald and Mike Hassett. And I thought it was a real class act by them, and something I never forgot from
them.
That's
such a small thing. You know,
it is a small thing, but it's huge for the young person coming in. And, you know, but that, look, that's, I think fellas recognise that as well, and managers are quick to point that out. And the way the Kerry dressing room is going anyway, it's all young fellas that's in there now with the Miners winning the last three All-Irelands, because there was a bit of a famine down here with the Miners since 1994 was the last time they won it. But look, things are looking up, and hopefully these fellas, you know, and Eamon is true to his word. He told us last year that these under 21s were coming in. And, you know, I looked at the programme there the last day for the Dublin match, and I looked at the panel, the Kerry extended panel, and you have 10 of those fellas in there now at the moment, and it'll be multiplied this year, you know. So the future is bright, and I think, you know, Kerry football, we're down at the moment because Dublin are champions, but I don't think that's going to be the case for long. I think Kerry are going to be back in the next few years.
Yeah, with three Miners in a row, you know, unless you turn out like Leash and don't bring them through, then, you know, you might have a chance. What was your
you said that
well, I was getting in before you. What was your most enjoyable year, Mark, out of all of them? I know, like, you've obviously won 5 All-Irelands, you're a player of the year. I'm concentrating here on maybe not enough on, you know, all the brilliant things you've done in the game. What was the most enjoyable year from start to finish?
Good question. I think 14 was my most enjoyable
year. Really? Because it came out of nowhere?
Well, you see, if you go back to the Munster final that year, you had fellas writing us off. Cork were favourites for the Munster final.
Yeah.
We went down to Páirc Cleaven, we blitzed them. And I suppose it was the start of James O'Donoghue performing. And, you know, like that year, and you know, you're old enough to kind of appreciate what it is, and you're old enough to recognise, you know what, this could be the last year here, you know, and you kind of take all these things in. And that was for me the best year, being dropped for the Mayo match, being able to, like, how lucky was I that after 20 minutes I was on the field. You know, backs when you're a sub, usually you're lucky if you get on, or if you do get on, it's maybe for a fellow who's injured, or you might get seven or 8 minutes as a token sub. But like, to be in after 20 minutes because Shane Enright got a yellow card, and lucky not to get a black card.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I was very lucky, Cullen. And then you're seven or 8 points down against Mayo, and to be able to turn that around and come back and win the replay, you know, just massive game in the Gaelic Park in Limerick. That was a huge occasion. And then to be Donegal in the final, and, you know, I think it was Donegal were favourites again, but that was massive for us, you know, and we were absolutely, that was, for me, 2014 was the highlight. Obviously, 2004 is a huge one in terms of the first All-Ireland, and the monkey was off the back. You know, but like 14 for me was the last one was my favourite.
Yeah, and even beating Donegal, you know, a really defensive team, which, you know, the perception was out there, Kerry can't beat them. Was there a bit of frustration, the fact you were able to beat Donegal at their own game, that in hindsight, when you look back at those Tyrone games, that you didn't do the same thing back then?
Absolutely. I'm sure if we had our tactics all over again, I'm sure we possibly would have been able to get one over on Tyrone. That's not to take away from Tyrone in any way, because they beat us fair and square. And I have to say that. And they were outstanding Tyrone teams who were better than us on the day, you know. And you know, it's disappointing, of course, that you don't win those games. But for me, the two ones that stand out the most are the Armagh one in 0-2 and the Dublin one in 2011, because I genuinely felt we had those games, but we left it after us. Now, I know the Dubs came out there recently, a few of the ex-Dublin players saying that they took it and we didn't give it to them. But look, everyone has their own opinion, but my opinion was that we left it after us. We were 4 points up. We had the experience to finish out that game, and we didn't. And, you know, good luck to Dublin. They came back and they won it, you know.
Yeah, and that was your first All-Ireland final. So you tasted 2 years of you know, bad losses before you got that first All-Ireland. So, you know, that made the
3 years when you put in the 2001 semi-final defeat to meet and sitting on the bench and saying, geez, you know, that was an experience as well. But then when you go and look at the 2004 win against Mayo, and if you go in, I was going in at half time against Armagh, 4 points up, saying, geez, we've this one in the bag. And then 2 years later, you're going in at half time, 7 or 8 points up, saying, hold on here, now we have to keep going here. So losing in All-Ireland actually helps you. It gives you wisdom and it gives you a bit of experience. And, you know, that was huge for me. It was a learning curve.
Yeah, I read Mike Quirk's piece. I don't know if you read it or not, but he was telling about your carry-on in the dressing room. I've shared a dressing room with you as well. I've been a teammate of yours. People won't believe me when I say I was the sensible one when I was a teammate of yours.
I think you got that right there at the start, Colin. People won't believe you. Because, anyone that knows you knows your shenanigans.
And yeah, look, you five All-Ireland, so you can easily throw them out there. Listen, I'm not like Parkinson at all.
I'm a pillar of society, Colin, and I would never behave ungentlemanly, like, as you well know. And there was a few bus drivers up there in Maynooth that have a thing or two to say about you now. So look, we leave that lie now.
Right, well, I'm moving swiftly on from that one. That's gone down like a lead balloon. What are you going to miss the most, Mark?
I'm going to miss the crack. I'm going to miss the banter with the boys. I'm going to miss the bus journey in, the guard escort in front of you. I'm going to miss coming into Croke Park. I'm going to miss the togging off, putting on aim and giving you that jersey, that amazing jersey that I just was honoured to wear. And I'm going to miss all of that. I'm going to miss the big day. I'm going to miss Croke Park. I'm going to miss all of that, Colin. It's something that I loved and cherished, and I have great memories though. So I'm really going to love it, you know. I to miss it, I should say. And look, I've had great times. It's time for someone else. Some wise man told me once that, you know, this jersey, you're only passing it on to somebody else. And I was very lucky. I wore the number 2 jersey for years and number 3 jersey sometimes, and I was very lucky to wear it, and I'm only passing that on now to someone else. And Kerry football will keep going, you know. But obviously, you know, you just pass it on to someone else. But I've been blessed that I've been part of something huge, played with the best players that I've ever played the game, played against the best players that I've ever played the game. So I take nothing but great memories from it, Colin.
Yeah, and rightly so. I'm glad you mentioned that seeing Croke Park on the bus, because my memories of that is a lot of messing until you get to your warm-up. Then you leave the warm-up and you get on the bus to actually go to Croke Park, and there's no real talking on the bus, and you see Croke Park for the first time and your stomach goes on fire. It's an incredible feeling.
Incredible feeling, yeah. And, you know, it's something that I'll miss. But look, I'll be a supporter now, and I'll be going up there supporting the Kerry boys, and hopefully there'll be a lot of All-Irelands now between now and the day I die, you know. So looking forward to all of that, Colin, and looking forward to being a supporter. You know, life is only starting now, really. And as I said, I have a young family now, so good times ahead now with the help of God, Colin.
Yeah, finally, punditry. You know, the Independent's gone, the Sunday Game's gone, Sky is gone, the Irish Times are gone. Like, I can imagine you're going to be a great pundit when you've nowhere to work. We'll look after you here.
Do you know what? These things are some things that are offered to you. They're not things that you go after. So I'm going to bide my time now, see what's being offered. And I'll be like the cute Kerry Hoole now. I'll bide my time and wait to see what happens, Colin.
Yeah, just undercut your brothers. They're very costly, I'd say. You know, just drop the price down a little bit.
Well, do you know what, Tomás, the two boys, they seem to be doing well anyway, and they're enjoying it. And I know Tomás is enjoying the Sunday game, and he's good at it, you know. And Barr enjoys his article with the Times, and Tomás enjoys his article with the Independent. So they're enjoying it. I'm training the school team in Tralee, the Tralee CBS The Green. I'm enjoying that, and so I'm keeping my options open. You know, I get a thrill from coaching the lads. And, you know, I did the Sunday game a few nights and I enjoyed that too. So look, whatever happens, happens. I'm not trying to be clever or cute by saying that, but I am keeping my options open. I'm going to take a bit of downtime now for a while anyway. I think I deserve that, Colin. I don't know what you think, but I'll take a bit of downtime now for a while and enjoy the winter.
Yeah,
and get back to playing at the club.
And if anyone wants to enjoy a pint with Mark, he'll be in O'Brien's on Leeson Street the odd weekend, hiding in around the corner drinking pints of Guinness. I found you in there, Manny, tonight. Listen, Mark, best of luck with it, and congratulations on an unbelievable career.
Thanks a lot, Colin. Appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm not finished yet. It took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other, and They regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing asses for f***ing 10 years.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.